Welcome to the 2021 AFL Premiership season on AFL Nation.
Pearls it into the pocket. Cameron wants it. Cameron gets it.
To Silwood, standing start. Lash the ball toward the goal. Oh, that's a moment of inspiration from the skipper.
Bolton still ready. Ready to rise and take a magnificent mark.
50 from goal. Kept it alive. 48 from goal. Goes with the banana. It'll be the miracle.
He runs around and bombs a goal.
To AFL Nation.
And we've come to the realisation that this footy club needed some fresh air from 2022 onwards. Our club hasn't performed anywhere near to the level that we would have liked for a whole heap of reasons, and I'm a key contributor to that, of course. And it's my view that the footy club needs to free itself from my shadow, in a sense.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to AFL Nation on a night when the footy in Friday Night Footy has been well and truly overshadowed by a day of drama at Hawthorn, where one of the most successful coaches of all time, Alistair Clarkson, has confirmed he will not be coaching next year, despite the denial of media reports in the past 3 weeks. So much to talk about the future of Alistair Clarkson and whether he will coach again next year or the year after, where he might go, but also his legacy at Hawthorn and where this leaves Sam Mitchell. It's our pre-game show for Beaumont Tiles Trade Club. And by the way, Carlton and St Kilda meet on Friday Night Footy. Charlie Curnow is returning. We will get to that, but our pre-game show for Beaumont Tiles Trade Club. Let's get to the team first before we speak to Sam McClure and get the very latest out of what has happened. And he and Caroline Wilson, of course, have been part of this narrative, so can't wait to speak to Sam about all of that. Jared Healy, you've been talking about this issue with Sam and others over the last 3 weeks. Wow, welcome to you.
Never doubted him. he held fire under enormous pressure. I rang Lee Matthews today and he hadn't heard. And he was flabbergasted. Could not believe it, because on Tuesday night, I think we opened with, you can take it to the bank, Scoop. What are we taking to the bank this week? And no, he has prevailed. And I must admit, even under enormous pressure, he's never wavered. So he clearly knew something was going on and knew something was going on from a significant source. But it does feel like there's no footy on tonight. But ironically, one of these clubs may be getting coached by Clarko next year. Who knows what's going to unfold? But the one thing we do know is, unless it happens, don't believe it.
Dwayne Russell will be calling the footy alongside me this evening. Dwayne, great to have you with us on Friday Night Footy. You do think about the big media days, the big footy stories over the years when these things happen. I mean, it broke mid-morning, and you're stunned. I mean, I guess we partially knew the story a few weeks ago that his time at Hawthorn was going to end, but when it has escalated like this and there's been such derision around the reporting over it, it was still quite stunning, wasn't it?
Some of the biggest stories we're about to talk about that have happened in decades past were genuine surprises. I shouldn't have been so surprised today. I mean, it was being reported. How can Caro and Sam McClure know more about Alistair Clarkson's future than Alistair Clarkson in some way? I mean, that's why am I so surprised? I shouldn't have been surprised. I should have known. Caro got one right earlier this year about what was happening at St Kilda and players that were apparently having meetings about whether they would miss due to the birth of children or not. Poo-pooed for that. Ended up being right. The journos, you know, not normally, they do get it right quite often, but no one barracks for the journo. No one barracks. There's been so many people kind of barracking for Hawthorn and Clarko and Sam Mitchell to get this right, because people barrack for Hawthorn. No one really wants the journo to be right, but in the end, we should have seen this coming because we were told it was coming.
It's been interesting, though, the amount of other journos that have been savage in their criticism.
Well, it's not your story, Jared. You know, you've been in this game a long time, but it's not your story. You kind of barrack it not true.
I left this man till last because he knows Alistair Clarkson and Sam Mitchell better than certainly any of us, and as well as just about anyone. Jordan Lewis, four-time premiership player under Alistair Clarkson, now part of the media. What's your instant reaction before we dig deep into that? How did you feel when you heard the news?
A little bit like what you said to Dwayne as I was driving in here. I thought about you three gentlemen and how long you've been in the game, and you could certainly pinpoint the biggest stories that you've covered over your media careers. And this, for me right now, is clearly the biggest thing that's ever happened, not only in the media side, but certainly from my playing days. It was always a club of stability, always a club that protected a lot of the information that came out. And I suppose over the last 3 months, it has been a club that I didn't associate with information coming out so freely. And I suppose that added to it with Sam and Caroline breaking the story and releasing the story is Alistair coming out and speaking, Sam coming out and speaking and totally denying it and giving us their version of what happened. And that, for me and a lot of other people who have been in the company of those two men, trusted them on their word. And for today to happen and to understand that Clarko will coach the next four rounds, I think it was Dermot today that someone in that deal had shifted dramatically and not wanted to be there. And I think that's a big move that we didn't see coming, and that person told us that it wouldn't happen.
Seemed like the big shift was last week, though, when Clarko shifted his position that previously it was he coaches the ones, Sam coaches the twos, and then all of a sudden it was two hands on the tiller. But I thought that shift was so that the deal would be finalised and seen out to the end.
And I think my belief is the club thought that was the right way to do it, so they wouldn't effectively cross paths with Sam coaching Box Hill and Alistair coaching the side. So I think that you know, Clarko thought long and hard about it and just didn't think that it was going to happen, that he just couldn't see himself coaching the side with and knowing that Sam Mitchell was potentially going to take over the seat, and he saw fit that he had to depart.
Given how passionate Clarko was, and he talked about marriage, about consummating the marriage, Jared, but he talked about the marriage, his analogy last week, and then the passion of Sam Mitchell, and then you hear them again today.
In sickness and in health. That'll be quoted quite a while. We'll talk about that.
It makes it really hard to know quite who to believe and what to believe in the whole thing. But one man who has held firm has been Sam McClure, Sports Day co-host and journalist with The Age. As we lead into Sam, let's just have a listen to some of how this has played out publicly.
No one is allowed to talk about the fact that he might not be coached next year because there's $1 million contract up for grabs.
Yes.
Okay. So until that is formally worked out between all parties, he's going to be coaching next year. I am sitting here telling you he won't be.
Simple as that.
He won't be. And I'm happy to play that audio every night for a year if he does.
I'm told that during that meeting, it became clear that Sam Mitchell would rather have clean air to have a fresh start next year without Alistair Clarkson by his side.
Is there any circumstance you can foresee in which you're coaching Hawthorn next year without Alistair at the club?
No. Everything we're planning right now, the so-called meeting that we had, which is one of a numerous amount of meetings that we have had and will continue to have, will be around planning for Clarko to coach next year, me to coach Box Hill.
I don't think it's in anyone's best interests for Hawthorn to look like they are pushing out arguably the greatest coach of all time. But I think that people at the club have come to the resolution that Alistair's time is up. Now, whether that's right or wrong is not up for me to say, and we'll see that in the fullness of time. Jared asked me last night whether I think Alistair Clarkson's going to be coach next year. My answer was no, and nothing has changed that.
Sam McClure, Sports Day co-host and journalist with The Age, joins us. Sammy, welcome to you. Do you feel vindicated?
Hello. Evening, boys. Oh, well, today's about a lot of people, and I am very much down on that list. It's more about, I think, the Hawthorn members today, and we've heard a lot on Talkback Radio how angry they are, and I was a little bit disappointed that the charade continued today at the press conference, mainly from the president, who's clearly now got egg on his face, but it was never going to work. And I think the club have handled it really poorly. Hopefully Alistair can be given the send-off that he probably deserves, but I think the raw truth of it is they've put their next coach in Sam Mitchell under a fair bit of pressure as well. As the president put it today, boys, a momentous moment, he called it. I'm not sure I would have gone down that line, but it was certainly a significant day.
It was a big day, Scoopy. You've had a couple of big months. You've been under fire from a lot of quarters. You've held strongly, so I think you should be proud of yourself for doing that. But you mentioned the word charade, and that's a strong word. Tell me, was it 100% a charade, or did the meeting that you discussed today, did the meeting you enunciated today between the senior group and Justin Reeves, is that the trigger, or was this going to play out this way anyway?
Yeah, it's a great question, Jared. I think it probably would have happened no matter what, but I think it expedited the process. I mean, the players just felt like the whole situation was untenable. And Ben McAvoy in the leadership group, who were, by the way, standing behind us as we were asking questions today, the whole leadership group was present at that freezing press conference in the middle of Waverley Park. They were the ones that said, we can't have two coaches. You know, it's mixed messaging. They were very flat after the Fremantle game. That was the days after the handover was announced when they got belted down in Tassie. They were very flat after the Adelaide game. On the weekend, I think the players had just had enough. So, that happened Wednesday. Thursday, Justin Reeves, Jeff Kennett, James Henderson, Clarko's manager, talked about next year, and they sort of decided that, you know, he would be paid out fully. And then that got ratified by the board later that night. So that's last night. And the board had agreed to announce this on Monday. But as it happens in footy clubs, things leak out and they had to make things up on the run today.
So if Clarko gets a job next year, does he pay the money back, or is he allowed to keep the cash?
No, my understanding is it's mitigated. So if, you know, for all intents and purposes, if Alistair Clarkson coaches Carlton next year, Hawthorn would only have to pay in the soft cap whatever the difference in the salary is.
Yep.
If he's not, though, I mean, and Alistair did everything but close the door on him coaching next year. I thought he basically said, call me if you want, through his messaging today. Yeah. That's how I translated it. But, if he doesn't coach anyone next year, he gets his $900,000, and the Hawks will have to spread that over a number of years in the soft cap. They've already spoken to Ken Wood and Andrew Dillon at the AFL to make sure that they're allowed to do that. I think the maximum is 5 years. But, there is the weird scenario where Alistair Clarkson for a number of years could be getting paid by both clubs.
So ultimately, Sam, is this what this was all about, the 3 weeks leading into this? Was it just about getting the check?
Well, I mean, it's a really cynical way of looking at it, Hutto, but I think ultimately the answer is yes. I mean, this is about a contract. And Alistair Clarkson, you know, whether you like him or not, is absolutely entitled to that money. And I think that, you know, Hawthorn thought they were really clever by trying to navigate their way through this and use Sam Mitchell really as the fallback to say, well, you know, sorry, Clarko, but we've got to get Mitch in. You know, I don't think it was about that at all. I think the decision from Hawthorn was, well, we don't want you to coach us anymore. And let's put the pressure on him and hopefully he walks and we don't have to pay him his money. I just think that that's backfired, you know, completely. And that whole monologue from Alistair Clarkson last week, I think, was from the heart, and it was also putting pressure on the board. And I think he's played it beautifully. I think that Hawthorn Footy Club were all playing checkers and Clarko was playing chess.
It seemed to me like that too, Scoop. I suppose from the player point of view, when you said that they went to Justin Reeves and just said that this can't happen, I wonder why they didn't wait until the end of the season. What have you got any specifics in terms of match day coaching or what might have been happening behind the scenes that would suggest the players to go to Justin Reeves and just say, we cannot wait the next 4 weeks. We need this to change now and we need clarity.
Yeah, I think, Geordie, it was probably the fact that they're very different coaches and they see the game plan is, you know, very differently. And I think as we've seen from a lot of, I know there's been a couple of successful handovers, but we've seen from a lot of failed ones, there's mixed messaging. And I don't think the players appreciated that. And for whatever reason, they couldn't wait. It's probably better for the club if they waited until the end of the season, particularly given where Hawthorn are at the ladder. But as it transpired, it didn't. So the club felt they had to act now.
So, Sam, if Jeff Kennett thinks or thought it was going to work, and Sam Mitchell told us it was going to work, and Alistair Clarkson told us it was going to work, you're telling us that players went to the board and told them it ain't going to work. So how do the players know that it's not going to work when it seemed like Kennett, Mitchell and Clarko were all convinced it would?
Yeah, well, this is, do I know where we come back to that that word charade, isn't it? I mean, none of those people thought it was going to work. You can just take that as fact. No one there did. And but of course, you know, footy clubs are about brand management, like a bank or like a company. But they have to show their members that there is faith in the process. And so everyone was going to get behind this handover, this succession plan, until it didn't work. And Jeff Kennett, you know, bizarrely kind of admitted that right at the end, that I was right all the way through until I was wrong. Footy clubs are as big on brand management as they are on list management. And they had to show their members that they had belief in what was going on. But if you're asking me whether those people actually thought the succession would work, well, they didn't.
Had Nathan Buckley's scoop not resigned mid-season, would this have eventuated anyway?
Yeah, it's interesting, Jared, the chain of events. I mean, Nathan leaves, and so they start their process. Graham Wright's first phone call is to Sam Mitchell. Sam, whatever you do, don't re-sign with the Hawks because we might want you to be a part of the process here. That filters to Waverley pretty quick, as you can imagine. And then the Hawthorns say to themselves, well, can we really afford to miss out on Sam Mitchell? But I think the greater question, as I mentioned before, is do we really want Alistair to coach beyond his contract? And the answer to that question was no. So, you know, history would say that Hawthorn blinked first.
And in blinking, they end up having to pay Clarko out.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I have zero empathy for the Hawthorn Footy Club in that. When you sign contracts, they're in stone. And James Henderson has clearly put together a very, very good contract for his client in Clarko. And I don't think there's anyone in footy that I've spoken to, Jared, in the last 2 weeks that doesn't think that Alistair is entitled to that money. Mm.
Sam, as Dwayne said, you seem to know more about what Clarko's going to do than he does. Have you got a read on whether he will coach or he'll genuinely want to coach next year or not, or whether, you know, you take some things on face value and think he might need a break?
Well, this is a $900,000 question, Hutto. I don't think he'll coach Collingwood. I think it will be either Don Pike or Brad Scott. And I think that when the review is announced at Carlton that David Teague will finish, and I think that the first call is going to have to be to Alistair Clarkson. Will he take the call? Well, he basically told us today that he will. He just wants a few weeks off to think about his next move. But it would be, you know, they wouldn't be doing their due diligence, the Blues, and you can take it from me that Luke Sayers is a big fan of Alistair Clarkson. How could you not be, given his record? Mm. So they'll call him, no doubt. They'll call James Henderson and ask the question. But, yeah, I would find it difficult to be convinced that one of Alistair Clarkson or Ross Lyon isn't coaching Carlton next year.
Mm. Scoop, you are now batting at 100% in your take it to the banks. What can we take to the bank from as far as a Collingwood perspective and now a Carlton perspective? You've given us two candidates for both. Just dabble a little bit stronger if you wouldn't mind. You're in
form.
Come
on, Jared. I've put it down to two each.
You're in good form. Who's in front of both?
I would have Don Pike in front of Brad Scott at Collingwood. And I would have Alistair Clarkson and nose in front of Ross Lyon at Carlton.
So you don't even have Teague in that equation at all, Sam?
I have been very consistent that I don't think David Teague will coach Carlton beyond this year. And they just got beaten by the 18th side in the competition pretty comfortably, so I don't think anything's changed there. The review, by the way, is nearly done. And if you can just picture a call centre going off, that's what it was like at Carlton today when the Alistair Clarkson news filtered through.
Sam, well done. It's outstanding reporting, and it's an incredible story. So congratulations on that. As you said, the bigger picture is the story itself, but you had to hold a fair bit of crossfire along the way, so well played.
Thanks, boys. Have a good call.
You did give 100-1, Scoop. Have you been picking up any of those bets?
I actually just had a notification via ANZ that one Michael Warner has paid $100 into my account.
Top shelf.
Sam McClure, Sports Day.
I know you're busy, mate, but if I call you at lunchtime to say well done on a story, at least give me a call back by 6, couldn't you? I know you're a busy guy, though, aren't you?
Sorry, Dwayne. I was getting around to that.
It's been a busy day. You gave me a start years ago, Dwayne.
Thank you, Sam. Sam McClure, Sports Day co-host and journalist with The Age. That question of Alistair Clarkson and whether he'll coach next year, let's hear what the man himself said.
No. I'm just going to take a breath. And that's what's been some of the discussions that we've had over the last, particularly the last 2 or 3 days. But that's been with a lot of people. And that's why it's so hard to keep this contained within the walls of our footy club, because some of the people that you need to reach out to get advice about, that have either mentored you, or they're from people from outside the footy club. Right at the present time, I'm wanting to give all my energy I possibly can for the last 4 weeks of our season. We've got a game, as Mitch just indicated, against Brisbane on Sunday against my great mate Fags, who's going to be in the opposition coach's box. Hope he might give us the 3-goal head start, the old fella, but we'll wait and see. Right at the present time, my commitment is just to have a spell and see where 2023 might take me.
So, and then he kind of went on and sort of said, well, you can give me a call almost.
Yeah, he did. And so I'll ask Jarrett the question. If you could have $900,000 next year to not do any media and just go surfing, or you could get the same $900,000 and keep doing media.
I know what Jarrett would do.
You're asking the wrong person.
Yeah, you're asking the wrong person.
Well, that's what he's got. He's got a choice of doing nothing and getting $900 or coaching another team like Carlton and getting $900.
Yeah, look, how can you make Clarko's decision for him? I think his son Matthew is doing VCE next year. I think he anticipated having 12 months off after 2022, so who knows? But Carlton will come calling, you would expect. Ross Lyon, I think, would have already taken a call. So, gee, it's an amazing scenario where you've got two of the best coaches we've seen available to coach a side that's crying out for some success.
And Louis, in the end, even though Hawthorn seemed like they've sort of messed it up, have they now got the result they were after in that Sam Mitchell coaches next year?
I think so. I think that was the reason why he was brought back. Alistair Clarkson had a big say in him coming back to Hawthorn, going to West Coast, doing a few years over there, applying his trade, see what a different organisation looks like. And then he was a big part of why he was brought back to Hawthorn to eventually take over. And there's only two ways. You either get sacked and then you go on the interview process and try and interview candidates and that's how you find your coach. Or there's an internal recognition of someone that gets the next senior gig, and that's the way that Hawthorn have gone. I think it has played out the last 18 months the way that they thought it would. I think they genuinely thought it was going to play out until the end. And then clearly that's changed, and it caught them on
What's
the hop.
What's changed?
Well, I think the realization from people within the club that there can't be two people that are, one being a senior coach currently, the incumbent, and then the other one waiting in the wings.
They could have said to Sam Mitchell 3 weeks ago, just bide your time.
And I get the feeling that he would have been happy to do that.
Yeah. Well, you get another 6 draft picks before you start.
Yeah.
Starters.
So he was going to have a say on the direction of
So ultimately, Clarko didn't really want this to happen, is what you're saying.
Well, I think even in his press conference, he said that he thought that the club needed to move away from his shadow. So he's had a big say on how it's ended so suddenly. Absolutely. He's come out of it well. He's come out of it with options clearly out there. He's been a fantastic coach of that football club, had a lot of success. But the club thought it was time to go in a different direction at the end of next year. He saw fit that it needed to end earlier.
Where does this leave Sam Mitchell, do you think? Does it leave him in a more difficult position than he would have been otherwise?
No doubt. Because he's thrust into the senior coaching role when he has admitted he didn't think he was ready to be in. So he would have thought that he had another 12 months to coach Box Hill and get that experience under his belt, yet everything has been fast-forwarded. And
so is the talent base. It's not there yet.
Yeah. So, and I think the way that everything's transpired and the handover and the way that it's ended and all the messaging that has been coming out of Hawthorn, that adds to the pressure. He's unfortunately a coach that will be under scrutiny straight away when we thought he had time to get this list together.
Yeah, although I'm not sure that there'll be any great expectations on what they'll do next year. So if he handles it well, he can probably control the narrative around that. We need to take a break. We'll come back and discuss this further. And certainly from a Collingwood and a Carlton point of view, with the Blues playing tonight, what they should do from here. And also where it leaves Jeff Kennett. Shout out for Hyundai. Do you have your eyes on a brand new car? Go ahead and experience the convenience of buying your brand new Hyundai online with Hyundai's Click to Buy, visiting the Hyundai website to find your local dealer today. You're listening to AFL Nation.
You're listening to AFL Nation for the Beaumont Tiles Trade Club.
This is a momentous moment in the life of the football club, and we hope that as a result of the goodwill that's been shown by all parties, we now have clear air. And I say that in particular for the players who have, for the last 2 or 3 weeks, been confused, which is understandable. And we recognise that while we are a family club and this hasn't been the most traditional way of a family to behave, it does happen from time to time. But the beauty about this club is it has the capacity, as Clarko said, to continually confound those who make comments about them. And as I just look up behind me at the statue of John Kennedy, I remember sitting here as a younger man with John, watching games of football here well after he had retired as coach. I hope Clarko will be equally as part of our club for the rest of his life, because we're only here for a brief period of time. We're not here for long periods of time, and the club is much bigger than any of us. So we now have clear air, and we thank Clarko. We don't finish today because I think he's going to continue to coach us for the rest of this season, which we welcome. But it is the day on which we announce the change.
Yes, a momentous moment, according to the president of Hawthorn, Jeff Kennett there. If you've just joined us, this is AFL Nation, and we are discussing the only really footy story of the day. We are leading into St Kilda versus Carlton. From Marvel Stadium, and of course the return of Charlie Curnow to footy. So we'll get to the Blues shortly. Eddie Betts is going to be our special guest coming up. Our experts tonight, Jordan Lewis and Jared Healy for Car Sales. Sell your car in 24 hours with Car Sales instant offer. Where do you think it leaves Jeff and the Hawthorn members and his relationship with the club and their fans, Jared?
I think this is a difficult period for Jeff. When you see out a legendary coach like Clarko, and you introduce a legendary player who's yet to prove himself as a coach, and you're seen to be driving that, then it's, you know, if it's not successful in a short term, and I'm not talking 1 or 2 years, if it's not successful and there's signs of success early, then I think Jeff will come under some scrutiny. I don't think they've handled it at all well. I mean, I think Jeff's been outmaneuvered in some respects by Clarko in this, and you know, the best thing that can happen is that they can part ways amicably with a smile on their face and move on as quickly as possible to the Mitchell era.
Should they have foreseen that this would happen, knowing the two personalities, do you think?
Oh, hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it? I mean, we sat there and
I mean, Justin Reeves went on the radio 3 weeks before, a month or two before, oh, we don't do succession plans at all.
That was with us, Hutto. He said there's no curability agreement.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
you knew it wasn't what they wanted for the first start.
And Jason Dunstall said the night it was announced the succession plan, this won't work.
Yeah.
And I don't think there was a curability agreement. But I don't think they thought, I don't think they envisaged that A, Buckley would walk, and B, the first phone call from Graham Wright was going to be Sam Mitchell. Mm. And then I don't think they thought that Sam would say, well, okay, I need something on paper here. So a lot of things have happened outside of their control which they didn't foresee. And I think going back, as I said earlier, the smartest thing in hindsight to have done was to tell Sam, you are at the top of the list right now. We can't guarantee you anything.
Yep.
And Justin Reeves should have maintained his position that there's no curability agreement. Now, we don't know whether he was told by the president or the board to enact the curability agreement or not. But it seems to me if that hadn't have happened, they would have had a much better result.
In terms of Sam Mitchell and his public messaging now? I mean, has the trust in him been
eroded
by this?
No, I don't think so. I think...
Does he need to come out strongly and say more, or does he just...
No, I think his interview with Jared was for me really genuine. That's exactly how he felt, and I took that as him not having any knowledge of what else was going on. So in a way, he wasn't blindsided by it, but certainly the way that it's panned out in the last 2 weeks, that he had, my belief is, he had no idea what was happening, and he's very much been a byproduct of conversations that have been happening without him in the room. So there's part of me that feels a little bit for him, to be honest.
Do you think he's ready now?
Well, you never know. I mean, all I go back to is when Clarko arrived at the club, was he ready? No one actually knows. Now, you've got to understand, you've got to put people around you. You've got to develop a list that can get you there. That's the biggest part. You've got to be able to make your players believe in what you're selling. And that's the challenge for him. Is his football intellect there? Absolutely. The smartest player that I've ever played with. But now can that be conveyed, and how it's conveyed to a group, that's his greatest challenge.
And I think we've got to understand that Clarko wasn't an immediate success. Clarko took some years to get it going.
Well, he effectively took 9 years. I mean, if it wasn't for 2008, which...
That was a flag, though. That kind of buys you a bit of time.
Yeah, but that was before he and everyone thought that would be an era of success.
Yep.
So it does take a long time. So there will be moments throughout the early part of Sam Mitchell's career. The club will need to stick by him. Absolutely. We've seen it with all premiership coaches. Hardwick, Clarkson, they all go through it. Mm. Can he get a board that believes in what he's doing is really important? I think he can coach. I truly believe that. Now it's about getting players in that can actually build some form of success over the next 5 to 10 years.
Who would Clarko be more suited to, Carlton or Collingwood, do you think? Give it Sam, if you just joined us, Sam McClure, who so stridently reported this story, said that he believed that David Teague would be replaced by either Ross Lyon or Clarko, and he thought that Ross Lyon was ahead of Clarko, which is really interesting in itself. And then at Collingwood, Don Pike is narrowly ahead of Brad Scott as it stands.
Both sides have interesting dynamics from an administration point of view. And I think that would be the greatest challenge if he was to go to Carlton.
We don't know what the administrative dynamics will be when he turns up.
Correct. So I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I think both clubs clearly have their pluses and minuses. But clearly Sam thinks Carlton...
What's a better job?
Well,
right now,
I think if you're looking at purely at playing lists, I think Carlton would be marginally ahead of Collingwood.
Do you agree with that, Jared?
I think they're pretty close. I like what Carlton's got by way of De Koning, a couple of good defenders, a couple of good midfielders, but both clubs are well short on depth.
The expectations would be higher at Carlton, though, wouldn't they, that you could get this thing... Mm.
Well, you've got Pendlebury and Sidebottom who are on the way out, and a bit might depend on how Charlie Curnow looks tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, he changes everything too. If Charlie becomes the Charlie we thought he was going to become, then Carlton's a different team. I mean, you only have to look at the improvement of Mackay has been huge. But if you have a good key forward, or if you've got two good key forwards, it changes everything.
For Luke Sayers, is Clarko an easier sell than Ross Lyon?
I think Clarko's got the premierships. Ross Lyon's got a long-term, a lot of success without the flags. I think you can't lose on either, to be honest.
Just because of how you rate Ross Lyon?
Absolutely. I mean, Ross, I think Ross is I mean, let's be honest, Ross was a fumble away from a premiership.
Mm.
So, I mean, Ross has rebuilt a couple of sides. People say he's no good at the coaching kids. Well, if you have a look at the rebuilding of Fremantle, they were well and truly on their way prior to injury taking effect in his, the second year after they bottomed out. So I've got no doubt that Ross Lyon could take Carlton to the promised land if he was given enough time.
And I think only those, out of all the coaches that are available, assistant coaches and ex-coaches, I think only those two coaches could coach that side to where they need to get to. And that's one being a big club. It's the list demographic. It's everything that else that goes in with that position. Those two coaches, I'm with Jared, you could not lose if one was selected over the other.
How will it be for one of those prospective sides thinking, this guy's been coaching for a long time, he probably needs a break, but this is our one chance to get him? Like, if Carlton go to him and he actually says that, look, I'm keen to coach again, but I need a year off. Could you do a reverse succession plan where you put someone in for a year
who's going to just
sort of lay the groundwork for Clarko?
No, I think the change of environment would freshen Alistair up or Ross Lyon to go into the Carlton Football Club. That's all they need. I think their passion for the game is both still there. The change of environment for me would invigorate whatever tiredness or lack of enthusiasm a certain club would do.
So Collingwood want to appoint a coach before the end of the final series? Are they going to start interviewing soon? And if they do want to start interviewing...
No, they have.
Yeah, but they can't interview... They can't make a decision until they find out whether Alistair Clarkson is now a contender for that job. And Alistair Clarkson's coaching for another 4 weeks, so...
Well, he's already told them... He told them that he didn't want to coach there next year, but whether this now changes.
I think he would... If he had any interest in coaching either of those clubs next year, he would have the right to be meeting with... whoever in the
absolutely.
Meantime.
Nothing. Yeah, exactly. There's
he couldn't meet with Collingwood and then coach Hawthorn on the weekend, though.
Yes, he could.
Yeah, I think he could.
I don't think he needs to. He just needs to give an indication of whether he's open to the
you
idea.
Think he could meet Collingwood on a weekday and then go and coach Hawthorn?
Yeah, I couldn't see an issue with that. Absolutely.
Okay. What do you think, Jared?
Yeah, I don't think there's an issue with that. I mean, we're not talking about somebody who's coaching a finals team. He needs to be 100% focused. I mean, Clarko's going to try and get a couple of wins on the way out without question, but...
You know, I'll be one out thinking that's a bit weird.
Do you think it's a charade or a charade?
No, I'm not sure. I'm from South Australia, so I still talk about chances and mauls.
Castlemaine or Castlemaine?
Oh, I'm still confused. Depends on which state it's in, like Derby and Derby. But, look, the whole world just... Whatever's the truth now, today, doesn't end up being the truth tomorrow. Everything moves so quickly in this world that... who knows what's going to happen?
We'll just ask Sam.